You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Give to us now, dear God, we ask, the glory of the light of your gospel. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ, the Savior. Amen. On this first Sunday in this season of Epiphany, as we remember and celebrate the significance of our Lord's baptism, I'd like for us to make a connection between Jesus' baptism and the bruised reeds and faintly burning wicks that we read about in our Old Testament lesson. Because Isaiah was describing the Messiah, our Lord, the one who was to come into the world to bring and establish justice, when he said, "Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights, I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth." And the imagery here is brilliant, really, because a reed, of course, is a hollow plant which grows along the shores of lakes and rivers. And a bruised reed is one with a bend or a soft spot, a place of weakness where if pressure were asserted, it would collapse. And it's imagery that really speaks to me because God knows that I have soft spots in my life, places of weakness whereby if pressure were asserted, I most certainly would collapse. And although there are some days that I feel like I'm burning really bright, there are most certainly other days in which I feel like a faintly burning wick. And this seems to be true for just about everyone I know. So that's what this sermon is about. And to jump right into it, a huge soft spot for me was this birthmark that I have on the left side of my head. You may have heard me reference this before because it really was a big deal for me growing up. When I was younger, you see, I had a head full of dark hair. In fact, we were looking at some of our wedding pictures with our children over Christmas, and one of them remarked, "Holy cow, Dad, you had a lot of dark hair when you and Mom got married." Kids are good for comments like that. And it's true. Growing up, I had this rather handsome, really, dark hair, except for this entire left side of my head, which was gray. And it was a difficult thing during my younger years because you know how insensitive and downright mean some kids can be. And I got teased about it to the point that I had a complex over it. In fact, for fear of ridicule, I went to great lengths to try to conceal this very visible soft spot, which really wasn't very easy to do, especially during the summer months when I was at the pool every day. In fact, I was so sensitive about this birthmark that for the first 20 years of my life, my mom was literally the only person I would allow to cut my hair. I mean, looking back, it's sad, really, how insecure it made me feel. Do you have any soft spots? Buttons that, if pushed in the right place at the wrong time, might set you off toward sensitivity and insecurity, or frustration and anger, or regret and despair. It could be the fear surrounding the failing health of a loved one. I was talking to someone over the holidays. He said, "Tom, I just honestly don't know what I would do if the Lord took him away right now, my whole world would collapse. That, you see, is a soft spot, a bruise in the reed. Or maybe it's regret over a decision you made years ago, yet whenever it comes up, your whole demeanor changes. Or someone jokes about your height or what you're wearing, and your entire mood shifts. What are your soft spots? What are the buttons that, if pushed in the right place at the wrong time, could set you off? God has obviously redeemed the whole birthmark thing for me, and as much as it's no longer something I'm ashamed of or insecure about, of course, my mom used to joke that that was the hidden blessing of my turning gray as early as I did, because it hid my birthmark. Moms are good for comments like that. But don't we all have soft spots? Faintly burning wicks, places in the reed that are prone to bending. Because we have this promise, you see, in Isaiah, about the coming of the one who, while establishing justice among the nations, wouldn't break a bruised reed nor quench a faintly burning wick, which again is good news for a guy like me, because I'm constantly aware of my weaknesses. Now, of course, everyone isn't. Sadly and foolishly, many people walk away from Jesus confused or proud, never even realizing their incredible need for him. I guess they are blinded by the things of this world, which give them the illusion of security. Things like good health, financial success, stable home life. In other words, things are just generally good. And when that is the reality, thanks be to God. But just below the surface, the lingering truth is that we all either have or are about to have bruised reeds and faintly burning wicks, soft spots that make us vulnerable to the full range of negative human emotion. And it is to these realities, you see, that Christ came to minister. In one of his books entitled He Still Moves Stones, author Max Lucado dedicates 21 chapters to this imagery of Jesus coming to minister to the bruised reeds and smoldering wicks among us. Those of us with guilt, like the woman caught in adultery, anger and jealousy, like the older brother of the prodigal son, fear, like the man Jesus healed, who said, "Sir, there is no one to help me." And Jesus's baptism is significant because it inaugurates his ministry, a ministry which from the very start gave special attention to people with soft spots. And it did all begin right there on the banks of the Jordan River when Jesus was baptized by John. Now we might ask, why would Jesus begin his ministry with baptism? After all, don't we get baptized in part to represent the washing away of our sins? Jesus didn't have any sin. So why is he getting baptized by John? And it's a good question to which the answer, in part, is simply this. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, chose to participate fully in our humanity, thereby making it possible for him to redeem every aspect of our human lives by living in perfect obedience to God's will. As the author of Hebrews puts it, he had to be made like his brothers and sisters in every way in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Jesus, through his baptism, was affirming his solidarity with sinners, participating fully in our humanity by making himself one with us in the process of securing our salvation that he alone could ultimately accomplish. In other words, Jesus became one of us to do what you and I couldn't possibly do because of our association with Adam's sin. As the second Adam, Jesus is the one who establishes justice by living in perfect obedience to God's will. And as he does this, he brings redemption and transformation to new life in those areas in our lives that are distorted by sin and brokenness. You know, when Anglicans or Episcopalians receive communion bread, we reach out our hands, placing one into the other to receive. And if a visitor unfamiliar with our tradition comes up to receive communion and begins to reach for the bread, I'll actually pause and motion for them to instead reach out their hands to receive. It's a subtle yet profoundly different physical exchange, receiving rather than taking. It's a much more humble posture, vulnerably reaching out to receive, one signifying our need for nourishment in God's grace and forgiveness. For some, it can be difficult to be vulnerable in this way. Again, how about you? Do you recognize your need today? Maybe because of an older loved one whose health is deteriorating, or a younger loved one who is fighting an addiction to a poisonous drug. You fill in the blank. Grief so bad that it's sometimes hard to get out of bed in the morning. Struggling finances, a relationship that is on thin ice. Jesus is our Savior, the one who can withstand the trial of a perfect and just God, and the one upon whom we can thrust our every care, our every sin, our every worry, our every soft spot, because he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So today, when you come forward to receive communion, bring your soft spots with you. Bring all those insecurities and places of brokenness as you come forward to receive communion and offer them to God to redeem and transform. For we have his word for it. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.